We say no more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No.
Now, back to the second reason people complain. The R in gripe, remove responsibility. Now, here's how that normally plays out. You give someone a task. Let's say you ask your son to cut the grass. He might complain, "Mom, it's too hot out there. I'll do it tomorrow." If you tell him he has to do it today, he might complain, "The mower's acting up. I don't think it's safe. We should get it checked." "No," you say, "the mower is fine. Go cut the grass." Now, if the kid keeps on complaining, that is, giving you reasons to give in and let him off the hook, you've now made it that much easier, if you allow that to happen, that he's going to do that next time, to complain, to remove himself from responsibility. You know, we train people the same way we train ourselves, which is, as it turns out, also the best way to train dogs. Top dog trainers all agree that if you give a dog a command, you must keep instructing the dog until the command is followed. If you say, "Sit," don't let your dog off the hook until he sits. If you give up, the dog starts to see the pattern of you not following through and won't obey. For change to occur, follow through on your word. The habit of not changing habits is something that is so insidious in all of us. If you're like most people, you have made commitments to break bad habits in the past, but you've not followed through. Just think of your New Year's resolutions from the last 5 years. You know, "I'm going to do this," or "I'm going to do that." And you do for a while, but then you stop. Listen, I am not bringing this up to make you feel bad. I want you to wake up to the fact that you, like most people, probably have another habit we need to address that's just as deeply rooted as the habit of complaining. I'm talking about the habit of breaking commitments you make to yourself. Let's say you've got a habit you want to change. Let's say you want to stop being so messy. Right now, living a cluttered life is a habit, and it's got you in its grip. You're swept up in it like a river current, like we talked about, and it's carrying you along. You can't seem to stop. So you make a decision to change that habit. You try for a while, and along the way, you give up. As you do this over and over with commitment after commitment, you actually create a habit of giving up on yourself, the habit of not changing habits. I've mentioned before that I was really obese as a kid. My mother tried everything she could do to get me to lose weight. I was on grapefruit diets, egg diets, Melba Toast diets, liquid protein diets, you name it. I was on it. And with every diet, I would lose some weight. And then I'd come up with an excuse not to continue. And I'd quit, which meant I'd gain back all the weight I lost and more. I was reinforcing this habit of giving up on myself, which is the R in gripe. Remove responsibility. Every time I fell off my diet, I was adding layers to the habit of giving up on myself. It was like I was drowning in failure a teaspoon at a time. When I was 18, I made a decision to lose weight. My mother was no longer pushing me. You really can't force anyone, even yourself, to change. You have to entice someone to change with why they want to be different. What's important is their reasons for changing, not yours. Well, my reason was a tall, pretty, brown-haired girl who seemed to really like me, even though I was really fat. I wanted to keep her as my girlfriend. That was my why. I was clear about that. And I made a decision to lose 100 pounds. I followed a diet that had worked for lots of people, but I realized right off that I was in trouble. You see, I packed my lunch every day, and I took it to school, but I always walked through the canteen to get a diet soft drink, and there, next to the register, was the Three Musketeers bars. every time I'd try a new diet, I'd walk through the canteen and see those candy bars, and that'd be it. I would buy a Three Musketeers bar, and then I would be off my diet. That was it. And every time I sabotaged my diet, it became harder not to let it happen again. I finally realized that all of my dreams of getting thin hung on one thing, being able to pass up a Three Musketeers bar. I had to break this habit of not following through on my commitments to myself. So the following day, when the cashier said, "Is there anything else?" I looked down at the candy bars and my mouth got dry. My mind began to roar and my hands even got a little shaky. I was staring my habit of giving up on myself down, and it wasn't easy. I thought of all the other times I'd made a commitment to myself and then bailed, and I actually used my past failures to convince me that it was okay to fail again. Once more, just this time. There's always tomorrow. You get how crazy that is, right? I want to succeed at something very much, but I'm going to use the fact that I've tried and failed at it before as proof that if I ever try again, I'll fail also, so why try? Talk about removing yourself from responsibility. We complain that something is just too hard, and we use that as an excuse to not do it. It's crazy. You are to some degree caught up in the habit of giving up on yourself. You've made commitments to change and not followed through, reinforcing the habit of not changing habits. Well, I've got some fantastic news. One of the things about taking the complaint-free challenge, switching your bracelet to the other wrist until you go 21 consecutive days without complaining, is that the very act of staying with it helps you also overcome the habit of giving up on yourself. This is the habit behind the habit you're trying to change. It's the reason change can be so difficult. People tend to take on too many changes, so they overwhelm themselves. Then when they naturally can't follow through on so many things to change, they give up over and over, reinforcing that habit of giving up. Keep changing your bracelet, and you're not only going to change your life by not complaining, you're going to be taking the first step toward building a new habit, a habit of completing what you start. You will replace the habit of giving up with the habit of following through. The diligence it takes to complete the complaint-free challenge will become a template, making other improvements in your life easier. It's like you begin to make a habit of creating good new habits. So, how do you get people who complain to remove themselves from responsibility to stop? Well, one way, of course, is to stop allowing them to convince you that circumstances that are challenging or difficult should be enough of a reason to give up. When a person realizes that their complaints are not going to convince you to let them off the hook, they're going to stop complaining. I've got a magic question for you to use when people complain to remove themselves from responsibility. It's a good question to ask them so that they will stop complaining, and it's a very good question to ask yourself. The question is, if it were possible, how might you do it? If it were possible, how might you do it? When someone is complaining to remove themselves from responsibility, they are trying to convince you they can't do it. Like the example of the mother trying to get her son to cut the grass. The young man was using layers of complaints to convince his mom that cutting the grass that day simply couldn't be done. That's the purpose of complaining, to remove responsibility. The idea is to build up such a plausible case that what is being asked is impossible, so the other person will simply withdraw the request. You've got to stop people from using complaints to convince you that something can't be done, and switch it around so that you convince them that it can. Asking, if it were possible, how might you do it, is a bit of an intentional brain scramble. It plays against their natural response and begins to get them to think possibilities. By asking, if it were possible, you move this question into the theoretical, the hypothetical. If it were possible, sounds like a harmless mind fantasy, which allows you to ask the real question that pins the person down. How might you do it? I realize my handwriting is a little undecipherable, but you know what I'm saying. If it were possible, how might you do it? When you combine the two, that is, combine if it were possible, which lowers the person's defenses, with how might you do it, which gets them thinking of possibilities, you can gently redirect a complainer in a positive way. This takes training, but it works great. You see, our natural inclination is to try and answer each of the complaints the other person throws up, one at a time, in an effort to convince them to do what we ask. A manager might say, "I need the Midwest numbers by 5 o'clock today." Her assistant, who hoped to leave early and doesn't want to do it until tomorrow, says, "Gosh, you know, I'd like to get you the numbers by 5, but Carl in Chicago is always so darn slow reporting in, but I'm sure I'll have everything for you tomorrow morning." You see, the assistant has just complained about another coworker as a way of saying, in essence, "I'm not going to do this, but I don't want to just come out and be insubordinate by refusing. So I'll just tell you it can't be done," with a smokescreen of complaints. Now, the manager, who really wants the information by 5 p.m. that day, might respond, "Well, call Carl and make sure you get his team's numbers first." "I'd love to do that," the assistant says, "but every time I call him early, I never seem to catch him. He's terrible at checking his voicemail, and he's really hard to get a hold of." Again, the assistant is hoping to give just enough complaints so that the lack of getting the task done is deflected and he can put it off. The manager is in the dark as to the assistant's true motives and advises, "Well, text Carl's assistant. She'll track him down." This kind of exchange can go on with more and more complaints popping up to hide the real truth, which is really that the assistant wanted to cut out early. And now the manager is wasting her time trying to figure out how to handle all these problems the assistant is throwing her way, which are really just misdirections. The assistant is being unproductive, and he's managed to drag his boss into it. Rather than answer the problems the assistant is complaining about, the manager would do much better if she just kept repeating, "If it were possible, how might you do it?" When the assistant says, "Gosh, I'd like to get you the numbers by 5, but Carl in Chicago is always so slow reporting in, but I'm sure I'll have everything to you by tomorrow morning." Rather than get caught up in having to come up with solutions such as "Call Carl first, if you don't get him, try his secretary," etc., the manager should put the responsibility of getting the task done back where it belongs, on her assistant. She should ask, "If it were possible, how might you get it done?" And just keep repeating that question. When I was a kid, we used to play a game called Hot Potato. We'd get a rubber ball and a handful of kids would gather into a circle. One kid would hold the ball and shout, "Hot Potato," and then throw it to another kid at random. The other kid would catch the ball and throw it to some other boy or girl as quickly as possible. If you dropped the ball or held on to it for too long, you're out of the game. In many cases, complaining is a game of hot potato. It's buck passing by people who don't want to be held responsible. When they complain, they pass the potato. They remove themselves from responsibility by offering up rationalizations in the form of complaints as to why it can't be done. To stop all the complaining, you've got to stop catching the potato. Put the responsibility back where it belongs, on the other person. Keep asking, "If it were possible, how might you do it?" And like I said, keep asking yourself that same question. If it were possible for me to complete the 21-day complaint-free challenge, how might I do it? Just asking that question focuses your mind to look for answers. Your answer to, "If it were possible to complete the 21-day challenge, how might I do it?" might bring up answers such as, "Find non-complaining people at work to hang around with," or, "Listen to the audio of Will's lessons every day while I drive to work." Whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, Don't complain about why you can't do it. Ask yourself, if it were possible, how might I do it? And you'll find both the answers and the motivation you need. So, in this lesson, we learned the importance of remembering the question, why? Ask yourself, why am I doing this often so that it can drive you forward to success? If it were possible, how might you do it? Opens the doors to possibilities and options you'd never consider otherwise. In our next lesson, you'll learn how insecurity drives complaining in some people and how you can avoid letting their negative energy affect you. Now, before we wrap up, I want to give you your homework. This week's homework is pretty simple and it's really powerful. First, as always, switch your bracelet with every spoken complaint. Always know what day you're on. And remember, there's no shame in day one. Second, begin to use this powerful question this week. When someone complains that you can't or that they can't do something, don't let them wiggle off the hook and don't get caught up trying to answer each of their complaints. Simply keep asking, if it were possible, how might you do it? If it were possible, how might you do it? And finally, I'm going to let you in on a secret that several 21-day complaint-free champions have shared with me. If you do this, you'll dramatically increase your success. This week, over the next 7 days, I want you to pick a date by which you'll be complaint-free. That is, I want you to mark on a calendar when you intend to have gone 21 consecutive days without complaining. Many people who have completed the 21-day challenge say that the day it all began to happen for them was when they picked a goal date, a date to have the challenge completed. Once they did that, it's as if they put their mind and their mouth on notice. Come on, guys, you've got to make this happen. So set your intention by picking a date. Now, a little advice. Remember that most people take 4 to 8 months to go 21 consecutive days without complaining. So don't pick a date 2 weeks from today. That's a little too ambitious. Because you and I are working together, you should complete the challenge in less time than most people. So pick a date that seems realistic, but also a little challenging. Pick your date, and then in the comments section below, along with any other questions or comments, declare, I will be complaint free by December 10th, or whatever it is. Whatever date you choose, put it in the year as well. I have seen people struggle with the complaint free challenge for over a year, who when they just picked a goal date to complete the challenge, they ended up finally going 21 days in a row without complaining and doing it pretty quickly. I can't stress this enough. This is one of those little inside secrets I promised you when you invested in this program. You can go 21 days in a row without complaining. Anyone can. And one of the best tools to succeed is to set a completion date. So, once again, homework. Keep switching your bracelet. Redirect complainers by asking, if it were possible, how might you do it? And finally, pick a goal date by which you intend to complete this program. See, I told you it was simple. Keep watching your inbox for your next video and be sure and post comments and questions below. I answer them all personally. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your life transformation. Until I see you again, remember to become complaint-free. Choose happiness and serve others. Enjoy today. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing.